Radio Theology is on WZPL Greenfield, Indianapolis, 99.5 ZPL. You know him from the Smiley Morning Show. Now he's got his own show. Radio Theology is on ZPL. Here's Pub Pastor Darren.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We got the windows down. It's sun's out, guns out. It is a beautiful day in February right here in good old US of A, Indianapolis, Indiana, folks. We're here with you. We're you're live, you're local. Weekly dose of faith, hope, and love on 99.5 ZPL. Radio Theology, I'm Darren Earlywine, your host, here with Lisa Graft. How are you, Lisa?
So good.
How has this beautiful sunshine treated your pregnant belly today?
Well, it's my pregnant belly saw a little bit of the sunshine.
Did it now?
Yeah.
A little vitamin D for the belly button?
Why not?
Top.
Right. And now my belly button is burned. But the rest of me is fine. No big deal.
We'll get to hear more about Lisa and her pregnancy as well as different marital struggles because tonight is fight night, ladies and gentlemen. Last week we had our spouses in here. We played a little game called the Not So Newlywed Game, and to be honest, it threw our marriages into a tailspin.
Yep.
So we're here to deal with it today. So it's me, Lisa, and the one, the only, the Ryan Allworth. Ryan, how you doing today, my friend?
Doing all right, Darren. I'm doing all right. I was just basking in the Lauren and my victory from last week.
You know that if we were to go back to the video replay, we'd see that you cheated with a fake half point question.
Well, you're going to have to bring it up with our referee producer Katie because she was the one that was the show host that night.
I think you paid her off
as the referee. I think it was fair.
Goodness gracious. If you missed that, just jump on our iTunes channel. You can go check out. You can listen to last week's show. Just go look up The Radio Theology, and you can catch up with what happened last week. But hey, here's the deal. We're going to talk about fights tonight. And here's the deal. What we figured out is a good friend of mine my friend named Matt Tebby was teaching me this the other day, that we have four responses when we get into a conflict in any relationship, right? Is some of us face the problem and really deal with it.
Okay.
But most people either try to fix it, they flee from it, or they fight it. Right.
Ooh.
They put up their dukes ready to fight. So here's the deal. If you're out there, we want to hear from you. If you're in a conflict right now, are you a person who fights, who flees, or who tries to fix it? Or do you want to call in and be like, I'm kind of awesome. I face all. I
face every issue that ever comes my way.
Issues.
I'm perfect. I don't know about you, but.
So call me. We'd like to hear from you. And if we can help you out, you know what I mean? We've been married collectively tons of years, right? And we're here to help at Radio Theology, your weekly dose of faith, hope, love, and music. So let us know. Are you a fighter, a fleer, or a fixer?
Radio Theology on 99.5 ZPL.
Hey, it's fight night tonight on Radio Theology, 99.5 ZPL. Darren Earlywine here with Lisa Graff and Ryan Allworth. And we want to help you out tonight. And here's a question we have for you. What is the stupidest thing you've ever fought about in your marriage? Right. Yeah. Or it may be just your dating relationship.
Yeah.
You've gotten into it and you're yelling, you're screaming, you're going after it. And then you realize, what in the world are we fighting about? And it's the most ridiculous thing ever. Please call us today or tonight, right now, 317-228-1099. Help us not feel as crazy, because I know we've got some crazy stories of times that we've been fighting and it just makes no sense. So what's the craziest or dumbest thing you guys have ever fought about in one of your relationships? 317-228-1099. And we want to know because relationships are hard, right, guys?
They're messy.
Oh, mine are fine. I just breeze right through mine. I don't know about you guys. But
you were telling us about one in college that was a little kind of funny with what was his name? Brad, Ben, what was that?
Ben.
You know, Ben's such a college ex-boyfriend name.
Put that in the pile of people you shouldn't have dated.
Sorry, Ben.
That's Ben.
A heap of people.
A small laundry-sized basket.
Yeah. No, it is true. Relationships are messy, though. And they require a lot of us, which especially, I mean, I've been on no sleep for about a month now.
Yeah.
Because our baby boy, Gus, is out in the world now as a newborn. And if you've got a newborn, you know what that's like. But I'm just a different person when I don't get my sleep, man. Lauren knows it's three things.
Yeah.
If I'm getting cranky, she will ask me, she's like, are you hungry? Are you tired? Or do you have to poop? It's those three things. I know, too much info, but those are the three. And I'm like, well, let's see. I did get 3 hours of sleep. I just ate. Might need to use the restroom. But yeah. I don't know. I'd like to win arguments.
Yeah.
I really do. But I always feel bad after realizing, oh, I just made my wife feel like crap.
Yeah.
You know, I hate that.
Yeah, I think for me, what I noticed is I like everything to be fun and just kind of lighthearted. And so for me, like, I wouldn't want to mess up the piece. Like, if things were going pretty well,
yeah,
it's like a good Tuesday, sun's out, and I'm, you know, either my feelings are hurt by something, or I feel like this isn't the way it should be,
yeah,
or whatever, I would, you know, I would think, well, do I really want to screw today up to bring this point up? And I found myself getting into a trend where, like, I would be like, no, I don't. And then it would happen again on Thursday. And I'd be like, still, no, let's not screw today up, right?
Why do you think you keep avoiding, like you said earlier, you're a fleer.
I am.
Or have been in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your natural tendency. Why do you?
I think if it's late in the day, and I'm ashamed to admit this, sort of, but like, and I, listen, if there's a guy out there who can say, hey, listen, I've done the same thing, but let's say it's later in the afternoon,
yep,
and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, maybe if things go good all day, there may be some, you know, marital bliss.
Hugging.
Late afternoon delight.
Yes. And so I think there's been times where I thought to myself, if I pick this fight right now,
yeah,
it's a problem. It's a no-go for later in the evening. Which is a really selfish and petty thing not to actually, you know, have the conflict because you're not working through the really tough stuff in your relationship.
Right.
So I've done that before. But then I think, I don't know. I'm really trying to figure it out. That's why I thought we could talk about it tonight, because I think sometimes we don't know, like when we get into a conflict in a relationship, we don't really know why we react the way we
right,
do sometimes.
Right.
But if we don't do it correctly, it's like we'll get ourselves in the same kind of spin cycle of conflict, which doesn't help anybody out.
Are you our middle child?
No, I'm the baby.
Oh, I don't know, because I'm the middle child. Classic avoider of
peacekeeper,
confrontation.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
You see it coming, you're like, I'm out.
Yep, see you guys.
Peace.
Good luck, though.
Yeah, good luck.
I'll be over here rubbing your backs, but don't ask me any questions.
You know, it's funny, because I'm trying to think of like the stupidest thing that Lauren and I have thought about, and the only thing that comes to mind, though, is the thing that we mostly get into it with is about just kind of the future. You know, it's like totally unpredictable. You know, you don't really know what it's like until you're in it. But like all the what ifs, and then the what ifs off the what ifs, then you're just arguing about things that aren't even existing, and they're just fabricated and they're abstract. And it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah,
you know, and like all that time that's wasted in energy and emotional energy that's wasted, and it's just annoying. And then when especially you just want to win.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh, I hate it.
This is Radio Theology with Pub Pastor Darren on 99.5 ZPL.
We've got, not yet.
Instead, I have a list of arguments from the internet that are the worst.
Oh,
yes, you know.
This ought to be good.
Okay, so I want your input on these, okay?
Yeah,
so are you?
We're ready.
This side or this side? Okay.
Just go.
Rearranging the kitchen without telling her.
Oh, horrible idea. Don't touch the kitchen.
Why?
Next.
I don't even know why you would try to get involved.
And also, why would you as a man?
I kind of like putting dishes away after the dishwasher is done.
But you're not like, oh, I have a free Saturday afternoon.
Right.
I think these pots and pans go here.
That's right, though, because Lauren does like structure, and she's very hard to surprise.
I don't rearrange. I have gotten in trouble for like emptying the dishwasher, and then I just put something where I think it could go. And then hours later, Julie's like, where's the cutting board? I'm like, it's in here somewhere.
Yeah, right. I'll find it. I know where I put it 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Next, producer Katie.
Toilet paper placement.
Over.
Oh.
I go over.
See, over makes sense to me.
Well, no, they looked it up, and the guy who patented toilet paper put it in his little diagram that it's supposed to go over.
It's for sure over.
Case closed.
Our house with three boys, there's so much toilet paper being used and so many movements.
Yeah.
That sometimes the roll doesn't even make it on the roll thing. It's just set on
just
top of the
there.
Thing.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are going through this about every 6 seconds, right. So don't even put it on the roll
He's
thing.
A man's placement.
All right. All right.
The next one, plant placement, whether you should have it in the windows or on the porch.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I don't have any plants, so.
I don't get involved in that.
Yeah, skip. Yeah.
Are icing on muffins still muffins or cupcakes?
All muffins are cake in general. Therefore, it's icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Does anyone else have any comments on that?
Well, I think I've never heard of a muffin with icing on it.
Exactly.
So it should be called a cupcake.
It's just because we take the icing off and eat it in the morning, so we feel less fat.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
It's like, good.
Have you ever cut the cupcake in half and then flipped the top half so you have a cupcake sandwich?
That's the only way to do it, to get even icing,
so nice.
Icing to cake ratio.
I hope someone's listening right now eating a cupcake and they're like, dang it.
I never
did it wrong. Might as well have another one.
Yeah.
All right, next one, Katie. What you got?
Is the top of your toe the part that touches your shoe on the outside or the part where your toenail is?
What?
Why would people fight about this?
Well, there's the top of your toe, and then there's a tip of your toe.
Yep.
Ooh.
Which part's the top?
The top, and then the tip is the tip. Makes sense to me. Next argument over.
Just going to keep going.
You need a little gavel over there, Lisa. Just done.
Ring the bell.
Ding, ding. Gandalf versus Dumbledore.
I have friends, and I haven't watched either of those movies. Next.
Okay.
Just kidding. Sorry to anyone who likes Harry Potter or whatever that other one is.
Mac and cheese made with milk or water?
Milk.
Milk.
Extra calories make it extra good.
Why would you put water in it?
It's healthier.
It's the poor man's mac and cheese.
I hate watery mac and cheese, and I hate watery spaghetti sauce.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed that in our marriage, I can ask a question at the dinner table incorrectly. Like, let's say we sit down and Julie's made spaghetti.
Yeah.
And it's runny. And I'll just say something like, did you like put some extra water in this? Mm-hmm. Right.
Did you want me to hate dinner? Right. Or
and what I don't think I realize, and Julie does tell me, is that I do this burrowed brow facial expression.
Yeah.
Which I think when you see it, it probably communicates much more disdain than I'm bringing with it, right?
I love it. Facial expression. That's a real deal, though.
Because there'll be sometimes I'm even asking because I like it better. I'll be like, and I can see my reflection in this thing in front of me. I'm realizing how bad this is. Where I'll be like, you something different with this?
Yeah, you look like you're about to fight right now.
But what I'm thinking is, this tastes amazing. And yeah. I'm asking.
Yeah.
So then I usually get this response like, why, is there a problem?
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa. Yeah. I was just saying. And then you get a conflict.
And then marital bliss out the window.
Knox, how do you feel about spaghetti sauce?
Good.
Good. Okay.
Man, a few words.
Because you said a face. Do you like it with a lot of pasta sauce or a lot of not pasta sauce?
I don't know.
You just like spaghetti?
Knox loves to eat. When he was like 4 years old, we took him to one of those Brazilian steakhouses.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was like kids eat for free or whatever.
Right.
And it was hilarious because they kept coming around and they would say, want to try? And Knox was just like, yes, please. That was the two words that he could probably get at that point. And I'm not kidding. This kid ate more meat that night than I did for free.
They lost money.
He ate half a lamb and like six cows.
Dude, I took Lauren there when she was probably in her sixth, seventh month of pregnancy with Gus recently. And our server was impressed. He was just like, I've never seen someone eat this much. And Lauren first time I took Lauren over to my house is, you know, when we were dating, my dad pulls me aside. He's like, she doesn't eat until she's full. She eats until she's winded. I mean, girl can eat. And just while we're on the topic of Brazilian steakhouses, you know, I don't know how we went from tip of our toes to Brazilian steakhouses, but that's what we do on Radio Theology sometimes.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah.
This is Radio Theology with Pub Pastor Darren on 99.5 ZPL.
Yeah, but the canned goods aisle really reminded me of one of the stupidest fights Ryan and I have
tell
ever
us about
had.
Oh, go.
When we were first married, one of the biggest fights we had was about what kind of green beans we need to be eating.
Are you serious?
Because I'm a canned green bean lover.
Okay.
My grandma. Yeah, he's fresh. Fresh. I'm like, ew, they're too crunchy. I want them soggy and totally tasteless and filled with salt. That's how I eat my green beans because that's how my grandma fixed us green beans. And so, we had huge blowout and finally we're fine.
Wow, there's something about the canned good aisle.
I know. It really stokes some hidden emotions that you don't know.
It's the Colosseum.
Yeah.
I liked how Dave was just aiming for kind of okay in his relationship. I love
that. Yeah.
Back
no,
you,
you're
Lisa.
Fine. Yeah. So, yeah. But now, of course, I mean, that was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So now our fights are evolving, you know, and I think we just went through a tough year, I would say. 2016 was a challenging year for our marriage, just with all the transitions that we had going on with waiting on a house and then not getting that house and getting a new house and moving. And Ryan's job ended and they moved to Memphis and he didn't want to move to Memphis. And so he was unemployed and job searching. And
wow,
I know, it was like all this stuff.
That's a lot.
You know, and so then it was like learning how, like for me, it was learning how to support him. Like, what kind of support does a man need when your identity is like tied to your job? That must be a man thing.
It is. Absolutely it is.
Yeah. And so like sometimes I would tough love and then we'd fight because he's not a tough love kind of guy. But sometimes I'm like too loving and too supportive and then we'd fight about that. And so just like learning how to, in the transition, figure out like, what do you want from me?
right.
You know, but it takes a lot of humility and it took a lot of faith on our part both. You know, we joked about it like, if we can make it through the year still married, ha 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 ha. But seriously, we're like, people end relationships going through transitions and we're like, obviously we're not going to do that, but we chose I've said this before and I say it all the time and I try to say it all the time in my head, but it's let love be your highest goal. It's somewhere in the Bible.
Somewhere.
It's in the New Testament somewhere, but like let love be your highest goal.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm like, okay. And so now as I approach figuring out what, okay, now he's in a job again and he's just finished his first week and yeah. Oh, it's another transition. What do you need from me, and is how can love be the highest goal that I have in supporting you?
Yeah.
I have two questions for you. One, what's the resolve for the green bean situation at your house now?
Oh, so smart. We do the canned.
Lisa won.
But yes. I was buying generic, and he didn't like generic, so now we buy Del Monte only.
Wow.
So there's the compromise.
There was. So I know your husband. I didn't know he's finicky
sometimes,
about his green beans, though.
Yeah,
wow.
Not a lot of things, but green beans, yes. Okay.
And then number two, how has religion kind of played its part in your marriage?
Ooh. Yeah, well, I think that's where the faith part comes in is just continually trying to pour into each other and to pour into ourselves, too, to have these a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And that helps with the little tiny voice in my head that's like, this is not a fight you want to pick. Like, and, you know, people right. can call it your conscience or whatever. I think that's the Holy Spirit in my life.
Well, I think when you're saying about the idea of love being your highest goal is that
yeah.
I think when you receive the kind of love that we do from God, it motivates you to say, you know what, this is what I want to extend, and that's what I actually want to live within. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Right.
So I think if you're not making love your highest goal, then pleasing or yourself or winning, you know what I mean, becomes a higher thing. Like
right.
I know love would forgive here, or love would be patient here, or love would not find a wrong here, or would hope for great things for my husband. But it's tough a lot of times when to choose that, because what you want to yeah. do is, I feel wronged or scared
yeah.
or something here,
yep.
and I need to make sure that I'm taking care of her okay first. And if
right.
if our needs are on the top of the agenda, it does not lead to a loving situation.
Yes,
right.
Exactly. And P.S., I suck at this.
You're
so
still
just
learning.
Because I say it all the time in my head does not mean I actually remember it when the real stuff comes.
Oh, yeah.
Because fear gets hold of me so easily. And then if there's any uncertainty, what's the new schedule going to be like? Oh, how's his commute? What time is he going to be home? And blah, 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 blah. Then I'm like, I'm scared all over again. And then I'm either mean or I'm smothering and I'm, you know, it's like, get yourself together, Lisa.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, I know the right answers, but I can't do it.
We're learning, though. I mean, some of you guys know I work with Young Life with a lot of high schoolers on the north side of Indy, and you know, sometimes the suggestions or the recommendations or the help that I'm trying to give them about their relationships with their parents or with God or with each other, you know, mm-hmm. I'll totally dispense that and then come home and act a completely different way,
yeah.
you know, to Lauren about the stupidest thing, you know, and it's just like, come on. Like, my wife just had a baby. She's exhausted. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Like, why is it that I want to help this teenager so much in their issue, but then I'm so willing to just, you know, not follow the same advice that I just gave? We're weird
yeah.
people.
And we so are.
Yes.
Radio Theology is on 99.5 ZPL. Now, an update on the ever-expanding Lisa. And you thought she was big before.
Oh, gosh, that part.
You guys, I'm even bigger than ever.
How big is your baby?
My baby's the size of a kale. A kale
a
bunch?
Kale?
A bunch kale. Of kale?
A bunch
What's
of kale?
I don't know. I don't eat kale.
Is it a head of kale? What the kale's going on?
Is it
on?
Like lettuce?
I don't. Yeah, it's like a lettuce-y type of okay. healthy thing.
It's like iceberg snootier brother or something.
Right, exactly.
It's like, I'm kale.
My baby is a superfood this yeah. week.
So you got superfood baby in your tummy.
Yes, wreaking havoc, you guys.
Ooh, what's going on?
I mean, emotionally, I cannot keep it together
really?
This week. Yeah, it's surprising because I think I say that every week.
Do you need a preemptive Kleenex right now?
Sure, just in case.
There you
never know. You never know. Yeah, so this is probably an old video that was going around the internet, and I should have had you pull it up. But it's a daddy-daughter, sucker oh. for daddy-daughter.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Yep.
They sing, "You've Got a Friend in Me."
I've oh. seen it.
Tears.
Yeah,
it
and then Ellen had him on.
Oof.
Oh,
yep.
my gosh. So I'm like, I watched it because Josie, my two-year-old, was starting to say, "You've got a friend in me." And I'm like, what are you saying? Like, it's like toddler speak. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I finally figured it out. She's seen this video at daycare. And now we sing it together.
Oh, gosh.
And now we cry.
Both of you sing.
She cries.
So you couldn't figure out what she was saying. She was saying,
no.
"You got a friend in me."
Right. And I'm like, but, and it kind of sounds like it, but it's like, am I playing Mad Gap? I don't know. It's very hard to tell with a toddler. So I was trying to figure it out. And then yeah. finally I'm like, "You've got a friend in me? Is that what you're saying?" She's like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." She gets all excited when I figure out what she's saying for some reason. She likes to be understood, apparently.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah, so anyway, yes, lots of crying with that. And lots of crying. We're dog sitting.
Oh.
My dog has a brother whom we love, But together, they rile each other up and they bark. Yesterday, I'm trying to nap. Instead of napping, they're barking. I'm weeping. Just, like, I'm like, so I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you, dogs.
And I'm like, I'm sorry. I love you, dogs. I would never even hurt you. But please let me sleep.
So I don't sleep.
Oh, gosh.
I know. Isn't that great? It's ridiculous. Because I'm so tired, I can't contain myself. And then I feel guilty for even talking to dogs that can't understand what I'm saying.
Right.
Alone in a room. It's a mess. Ooh. But today was a perfect day for my pregnancy craving because.
Ooh. Oh. Let me guess. Ice cream.
Yes.
Oh, it was ice cream?
After lunch, I was like, we need to get some ice cream. And then I'm like, ooh, let's go to Dairy Queen. Duh. Obvious choice.
So clutch.
It's happy hour. Boom!
Oh,
half off of shakes.
Ooh.
Then I discover there's a chocolate shake and there's a hot fudge shake.
Oh. Wait, what?
I know. So I asked the girl, brilliant genius, and I said, what's the difference? She said, in the chocolate one, we use chocolate. In the hot fudge one, it's hot fudge. I said, wow, that really cleared things up for me.
Thank you for that clarification.
But I'm like, let's just take a stab at the hot fudge. Life altering.
Really?
You guys go to Dairy Queen, get the hot fudge shake.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They owe me several hot fudge shakes just for saying this out loud on the radio. So I'm going to work on that.
They need to bring them next episode.
Oh, man. Life changing.
How many weeks are you, Lisa?
I'm 26 weeks.
26 weeks, and you're due on
end of May.
Okay.
26.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so I know. Memorial coming Day. Up. Coming up.
Gosh, it's going to be here before you know it.
I know.
Yeah. And I might be 600 pounds because now I've discovered the hot fudge milkshake. I mean, it's a dream.
I just knew after having, a pregnant wife three times in my life that a warm day like this, it screams for a woman needs ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Yep.
Cookie dough blizzards, man.
That's beautiful. That's anything else this week in this pregnancy?
That's all I got. That's all I got.
Kale, crying, and ice cream.
I just love to see a video of you screaming at those dogs.
Weeping.
Super pathetic. Yeah.
Stop it. I'm sorry.
Not my finest moment.
What's the blog about this week, Lisa?
Oh, brother. Yeah, my blog is about self-care, if you can imagine that.
Not really.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. So I'm talking mostly about myself and how I start to recognize my self-care needs.
Yeah.
And if I go too long without taking care of myself, these are the bad things that happen.
Yeah, that's good.
But if not, man, I am rocking and rolling on all cylinders.
Nice.
If
Love
we
that.
Want to have more of the Lisa Graft in our life, where do we find the blog?
It's lisagraft.com.
Well, that's it. Get to it, lisagraft.com. She puts out a blog every week all about self-care. She's got this kale baby lettuce in her uterus right now. It's awesome.
Now, the Radio Theology Thought of the Night.
We all love a great love story, let's be honest about it, right? We love the idea of someone courageously risking all the fears, risking it all, right, to face their fears and risk loving someone well. We love to watch that story on film or on TV. We love reading it in a book, but if we're honest, most of us are terrified to actually live it. If you notice, every love story, right, it has this same story arc, right? There's a status quo, life's going on as it does, and then something happens, a trigger. And it's conflict usually, right? And it kicks our hero or our heroine, right, into this quest. Is can they love? Can they overcome their struggles and actually be surprised by what is actually in them as they give it to other people? And it always comes in a great story, a great movie, right? There's a critical choice that has to be made. A critical choice to either face their fears and love or to shrink back and to flee or to try to fix it or just fight. And if the decision is made to not face the issue, it usually goes from an amazing love story, possibly into a tragedy or at least a drama. The great lovers, right? And these great love stories, they always find their climax as the hero makes that critical choice to face their fears, their limitations, and to choose to sacrificially love. Now, the struggle for you and me and for us here on Radio Theology tonight is that we're not in a movie and no one's probably going to write a book about the struggle we're in. But what kind of love story are you living? When a conflict or a struggle arrive in your life, do you respond like a hero or a villain? See, heroes set their face towards the conflict. And we usually do one of two things if we don't face our fears and conflict. We fight, we flee, or we try to fix them. Maybe we stir up all the anger or rage that we have and we're ready to fight. Or maybe we cower and tuck our tail between our legs and we flee. Or possibly we muster all the momentum we can. We go to work to try to fix the problem. Some of us fight, some of us flee, some of us fix, because most of us are too scared to face the conflict and have the courage to love. And that's why I love learning how to love from my mentor, Jesus, right? His life was the greatest love story the world's ever known. At the end of his life, as it was approaching, he had to face his critical choice in his love story. The book Luke says something really kind of odd, but it says that at a time that Jesus turned his face and he resolutely set his face towards Jerusalem. Well, why did he turn his face towards Jerusalem? Kind of a weird sentence, but it's because it's at that place that he would have to make his critical choice and show the world the greatest expression of love it would ever see. I wish that I could love like him and love like that more often. Truth be told, when I'm faced with a conflict in my marriage or relationship, I tend to flee. Fear gets the best of me and I flee. And left in its absence is the opportunity to really love and be loved. But inspired by Jesus' love, slowly but surely, I'm learning to face my fears, to set my face towards the conflict in love. And guess what? I'm discovering that it's always worth it. So folks, tonight we all love a good love story. However, there's no great love story without great conflict. And great conflict either reveals us to be a lover or a runner, a fixer or a fighter. But the lover's journey, the hero's journey, the journey that I know that you and I long to live is only experienced as we resolutely set our face towards the conflict and choose to love. And that, my friends, is our kickoff of our Radio Theology Thought of the Night tonight, February 19th, 2017.